So today's lesson is going to be about PG, the parental guidance. How did Moshe and Aaron have the ability to perform their mission? In the second reading of Parshas Va'era, the Torah seems to diverge from the storyline. All of a sudden, we're getting a whole background, an ancestral background. Starting from chapter 6, verse 14, we have an accounting of Elo Rashi Beis HaVesam. These are the heads of the father's homes, so to speak. There's the children of Reuven, and then we talk about the children of Shimon, and then we come to talk about the children of Levi. And Rashi explains that in order for us to understand and appreciate who are Moshe v'Aaron at this point, it's necessary for the Torah to give us the background. So if the Torah is going to give us the background, the Torah doesn't begin with the tribe of Levi, but rather the Torah speaks about first Reuven, Shimon, then we get to Levi, then we get to Moshe v'Aaron, and we stop there because that was the point. Rashi also mentions that in Parshas Vayechi, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi did not get accolades from Yaakov. They're not overtly blessed. So it makes sense that they should be reiterated, reinstated here, and spoken of in glowing fashion. This brings us to chapter 6, verse 26. So after going through the details of Moshe Rabbeinu's parentage and speaking about Aaron and Aaron's marriage and Aaron's children and Aaron's grandchildren, the Torah speaks, kind of recaps now. It says, Hu Aharon uMoshe. They are Aaron and Moshe, Asher Omar Hashem Lohem, to whom God had said, Hoitziu es bnei Yisrael mi eretz Mitzrayim, take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Al tzivosam, according to their hosts or arrangements. So, Hu Moshe v'Hu Aharon uMoshe. He, or they are Aaron and Moshe. Says Rashi, Elu shehuzkeru lemaila. These very people that have been mentioned previously, from verse 20 onward, sheyolda yocheved laamram. These children who were born of a woman named Yocheved to a father whose name was Amram, who Aaron and Moshe asher omer Hashem. They are the very same Aaron and Moshe that God had spoken to. And he told them to take the people out of Egypt. So it's a little bit strange because we haven't spoken about another Aaron and Moshe, and presumably the entire reason that we're giving this lineageal background is because we want to introduce Aaron and Moshe, but I guess that's what Rashi drives home. That's the point. He says, so this is the same Aaron and Moshe. It is not a diversion. It is not a different story. It is the same story. Who Aaron and Moshe? This is the same Aaron and Moses, the ones we just talked about, the birth that we just traced, the very same Aaron and Moses. They are the ones who God had given that commandment. Now, Rashi notes, Yesh mekoymes shemagdim Aaron l'Moshe. There are places in the scripture when Aaron and Moses are mentioned together, where Aaron is mentioned first, and then where Moses is mentioned first, pardon me, and then other places like here, where we have Aaron mentioned first. Yesh mekoymes shemagdim Moshe l'Aaron. Loimar, what is the scripture trying to tell you when at times it mentions Aaron first, and at times it mentions Moses first? Incidentally, in the very next verse is we're going to find this. So this is a good place for Rashi to point out that don't expect the order to remain the same. It'll constantly shift. As we see in verse 27, the Torah goes on to tell us who Moshe v'Aaron, this is the Moshe v'Aaron that God spoke to. In verse 27, the Torah says, Heim Hamedabrim, they are the ones who are speaking El Parei Melech Mitzrayim to the Pharaoh who is the king of Egypt, Lahoitzi es bnei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, to take the people of Israel, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So in verse 26 we emphasize this is the Aaron and Moses that God spoke to, and in verse 27 we emphasize this is the Moses and Aaron who spoke to the Pharaoh. Who Moshe v'Aaron? Verse 27 concludes with the words, they are Moses and Aaron. So verse 26 opens with Aaron and Moses. Verse 27 concludes with Moses and Aaron. What's up with the order change? Why sometimes Aaron and Moses? Why sometimes Moses and Aaron? And the answer, Rashi says, the answer is, Loimar, to tell you, sheshkulin ke'echot, that they were equal in Hashem's eyes, equally important. Aaron and Moses, Moses and Aaron, both played equally important roles. they employed what we would call a full partnership. And both together were the ones who were responsible for taking Am Yisrael out of the land of Mitzrayim. This is the take that Rashi offers us. Now, there are others who emphasize something very different. For example, Rashi's own grandson, Rashbam, emphasizes that when it comes to years, who is older? Aaron is older. Aaron is 3 years older. So that's why he's mentioned, because there's a virtue in age. He's old. The Torah mentions him. Who Moshe Aaron? Who Agadol B'Shanim, says Rashbam. Then when it comes to verse 27, when it comes to who Moshe Aaron, who did God speak to first about this mission? Who was preeminent in God's communication? Definitely Moshe. So that there are two different virtues. There's the virtue of age, which would bring a certain sagacity or a certain experience or a certain prominence. And then there's the virtue of what's actually happening. Who's God speaking to with greater force, with greater intensity? And the obvious answer is Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what happens. Sometimes Aaron, sometimes Moshe. That's how Rashi's grandson understood it. The Ibn Ezra emphasizes that when it came to speaking, when it came to prophesizing to Israel, Aaron comes before Moses. When it comes to speaking to the children of Israel. Now, that says the Ibn Ezra, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in verse 26 about speaking to the children of Israel, it says, he is Aaron and Moses, Asher Omar Hashem Lehem, which who God had told them, Hetzius Bnei Yisrael. So, since it's about Hetzius Bnei Yisrael, since it emphasizes the children of Israel, that's why we have this emphasis on Aaron, because when it came to the children of Israel, Aaron was the more prominent one. However, when it came to Moses, Ibn Ezra says, then Moses becomes Aaron in second fiddle when it came to Moses. So one was Neide Bagoyim and one was Neide B'Yisrael. Aaron was Neide B'Yisrael. He was known and appreciated amongst the Jewish people. And it was Moses who was more known and appreciated with regard to the Pharaoh and his courtiers. What does that mean? I mean, what is the Ibn Ezra really saying? So the Emek Davar, who's a Achron, comes much, much later, he explains Ibn Ezra in a beautiful way. He says, the children of Israel, they knew Aaron. Aaron grew up with them. Aaron, they watched him blossom into a leader. He lived with people. And, in fact, Rashi references this in last week's commentary twice, in commentary of Parshas Shmos. God had already spoken to Aaron about this initially, and didn't want people to respond. But Aaron was actually, he had the first blush. So he already came to the Jewish people and said, there's going to be a redemption. God's going to take us out. And I'm like, yeah, right. Right, Aaron. That's exactly what's going to happen. And nobody listened to him. So Aaron already had been around the block. And because of this, the Emek Davar says, they knew his holiness. They knew that he was prophetically inclined. They knew that he had higher intuition. But Moses, they don't know who he was. Where did Moses grow up? In the palace. Who knew him? Nobody knew him. So what was Moses' ticket, if you will, for the Jewish people? Who would the Jewish people listen to? Say, oh, who Moses? I'm Moses. Who are you, Moses? Well, I'm the guy you never knew. But Aaron is, oh, we know Aaron. This is Aaron's brother. So for the Jewish people, Moses was Aaron's brother. However, Emek Davar points out, when it came to the Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron showed up. The Pharaoh took one look at Moses. I know who you are. Right? You go to my palace. And Emek Davar says that Pharaoh knew how wise Moses was. He knew how capable he was. He saw. He saw it happen. So he knew. But Aaron is just another Jew. Who is this Jew, he said. Oh, this Jew? It's Moses' brother. Oh, it's Moses' brother? Okay, fine. So that's why we have the who Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron Moshe. Rashi, interestingly, does not take this approach at all, but that's the approach Ibn Ezra takes, as explained by the Emek Davar. Now, moving right along, in Rashi, who emphasizes, he explains the grammar of Altsivoysim, which I'm not going to focus on now. And then, in verse 27, Rashi says the following. Heim hamedabrim, they are the ones who are speaking. Heim shenitztavu, they are the ones who were commanded to speak. They got the commandment, go to Egypt and speak. Heim shekimu, they are the ones who fulfilled. Very strange, Rashi. They're the same people who got the command, they're the same ones who fulfilled the command. And then Rashi goes on. Who Moshe v'Aaron? Rashi, the end of last Rashi in verse 27. Heim b'shlichutam, they were in their mission. The same ones. Uvitzit kasam, and in their righteousness, mitchilavad seif, from beginning until the very end. They were the ones. They were the ones, from beginning to the end. They were the ones who did exactly what God said. So we're going to try to analyze the approach of Rashi. From Rashi's approach, these verses tell us two things. Number one, shkulim heim. Number one, that they were equal. Number two, from Rashi's approach, these verses tell us that they are the ones born of Yocheved and Amram, as Rashi emphasized in the beginning of his commentary on verse 27. They are the ones born from Yocheved to Amram. It kind of says it in the Pasuk, but Rashi's emphasized. That's why it says it in the Pasuk, to emphasize they are the ones who are born to those parents. And then they are the ones who did this from the beginning until the end. They're the ones who got the command. They're the ones who carried out the command. They remain righteous. They remain committed and loyal from the beginning until the end. So let's analyze this Rashi, these two Rashis. Please join us in the Biurim book on page... on page Kuf Chav Zayin. So the Rebbe asks a series of questions about these two Rashis, specifically conflating these two Rashis together, the Rashi at the beginning of verse 26, the Rashi at the conclusion of verse 27, Elu Shehuzkaru, this is Aaron and Moses who I mentioned earlier, Sheyoldi Yecheved L'Amram, who were born to Yocheved and Amram, and they are the ones who are speaking to the Pharaoh, they got the commandment to the Pharaoh, beginning to end, and so on and so forth. So the Rebbe says, Tzarech Bir, this needs to be better understood. Number one, what do these two verses really come to teach us? Did we not know already are we considered to be so dim, so thick, that we just read the story and it has to be reiterated and then diced up and then re-delivered? I mean, like, do we not know this? Is it not clear? Why would the Torah have to repeat what it says literally verses later, all over again? Okay, some of it's a couple of verses back. So we just read the story. We just studied the verses of the Torah. Nobody really learned anything from these verses. Nobody walks out and says, now I know. I didn't really know this. You know, I read the story before God speaking to Moshe. But I thought that was just like a story. I didn't know that's the same story of Parsha Shmos is the same story as Parsha Zaveda. Really? But like you required extra psukim, not just commentary. You required verses of the Torah to go ahead and to emphasize it's the same people. Have we ever met another Moses and Aaron at that time, from that period? That's the Rebbe's first question. And the Rebbe's question, secondly, is, L'shem ma'amayrech Rashi u'mefaret, why does Rashi seem to spend additional time, energy, ink, and effort on telling us Elu Shahuz Kurulu Milo, these are the very same people mentioned prior, Sheyolda Yocheved La Amram, to who Yocheved had born to Amram. Harekol Hamayin, because of anybody who's gonna actually look in the scripture, take that and read, Yeroi is gonna see Shemosha Vyaran, Noldali Yocheved Amram. The Torah is quite explicit in telling us who were the parents of Moshe Vyaran. Torah tells us about their marriage, Torah tells us about their background. It's really right in front of your face. So Rashi has to emphasize here now again, after having told you that they were born to Moses and Aaron, now in verse 26 and 27, oh, by the way, you know they're the ones who were born to Yocheved. I just want you to know that. Like, don't forget. Okay, we just read this three verses ago. Station identification, an important reminder. We're going to have now every three verses reminding us, Moses and Aaron, Aaron and Moses, Yocheved, Miriam, Miriam, Yocheved. I'm sorry, Yocheved and Amram. Like, what's the point? And Rashi seems to think that makes a lot of sense, that the way he's explaining the fact that we get verse 26 delivered all over again is verse 26 is telling us that you should know that it was Yocheved who had born these children to Amram. That's where Moshe and Aaron come from. And then the Rashi, then the verse 27 really seems inexplicable. Ma pesha divi Rashi, what in heaven is the meaning of the words of Rashi? Heim shenitzavu, heim shekimu. They got the command, they did it. Is there really such a great novelty? You go to a child and ask any child who knows anything about Moses and Aaron and Aaron and Moses and say, tell me, you think Moses listened to God? Child, look at you like you fell off the walls. Well, what do you mean? It's Moses, of course. Aaron was the biggest tzaddikim. Most righteous leaders, some of the greatest if not the greatest Jews who ever lived. What do you mean? Is that really a novelty? It's not like we're talking about Korach over here. Well, Datan and Avir, oh, by the way, they got the command, they did once listen. Like Rashi is kind of telling us, you should know, this is the reason the verse has to emphasize it. Heim shenitzavu, they got the command. Heim shekimu. That's why the verse is coming here. That's what this verse is about. And you ask yourself the question, really? That's what this verse is about? That's the Pshut Shal Mikra? The other commentaries seem to be more reasonable. And Rashi he comes because there's an implicit problem. He's dealing with an issue. The issue here is verse 26 and 27 seem entirely superfluous. But his explanation is superfluous in and of itself. It's almost as if his explanation emphasizes the incredulous nature of these verses. It's almost like by explaining what's happening here, we say, yeah, that was our question. Why did we need to hear this over again? We kind of knew that. So the Rebbe gives us an incredible, incredible explanation. We could explain this based on Rashi's words earlier in verse 13. Bidvar matarasa shel parshazu, which I actually opened today's class quoting that Rashi, that idea. What is the purpose of these verses altogether? Where are we going? What are we trying to say? And Rashi says, as a general introduction, this collection of verses, which seems to be a divergence, a tangent from the story. We retreat from the storyline, we're going in a different direction. We're talking about something other than the narrative at hand. We seem to be going back generations. All of this, from Rashi's perspective, is, quote, lilamdeinu, to teach, to instruct us, heich noldu Moshe v'Aaron. How were Moses and Aaron born? Not just how they were born, as in they were not hatched, but rather there was a natural birth, but ubemi nisyachsu, by virtue of who does their lineage become established? Where are they from? Where did these people come from? In other words, Rashi believed that it was critically important for the Torah to emphasize where Moshe v'Aaron came from, so to speak. This is about their lineage. We introduce their mission first by emphasizing their lineage. That's how their mission must be introduced. So the Rebbe develops this. What does that mean? Matarasa shel parsha zu, the purpose of this parsha, hi levayer es yichudum shel Moshe v'Aaron. It's to explain the uniqueness of Moshe v'Aaron. What made them so special? Lahazbir es hasiba, to give us the reason, shedavke heim nivcheru, that of all the Jewish people, and there were 600,000 candidates, and really more than that, because Moshe v'Aaron are 80 and 83 at the time, and 600,000 is just from the age of 20 to the age of 60. So there's maybe like a million candidates to this job. And heim nivcheru, and they were chosen, kishluchav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the agents, as the emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, lahoitzi is bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim, to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. L'shem kach, for this reason, in order to answer, to explain to us, why these people? Why them? What was it about them? That's what the verse arrives here to convey to us, and to trace their lineage back to their parentage, namely Yocheved v'Amram. Who were Yocheved v'Amram? What do we know about Yocheved and Amram? And incidentally, we know more about Yocheved than we know about Amram, incidentally. But we know a little bit about both of them. A young lady came to me last week, and she was very distraught about the Torah's chauvinism. She was very bothered, and she had a whole series of questions in which she thought the Torah was very chauvinistic and talked only about the men and didn't talk about the women. How come in all of the children that are listed, we don't find any of Yaakov's daughters? I said, well, we follow the majority opinion. Yaakov didn't have daughters, and they weren't alive anymore. Okay. So I said to her, your approach is wrong. So she said, prove it to me. I said, let's open the book of Exodus. This is the birth of the nation of the Jewish people. Okay, we mentioned all the tribes because the Jewish people, tribal formation. Who's the first actors we get introduced to? The first people that set the stage, if you will, for redemption. I said, Shifra and Pua. Are they male or female? And then what happens? And then Yocheved and her husband separate. And who is the one who causes them to marry? Miriam, a little precocious girl. So before we went anywhere, before Moses is born, we're introduced to Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, multiple times. And that's how the Torah opens. But we do get introduced also to Amram, and Amram does do one thing, as we're going to see. What was the common denominator between what Yocheved did and what Amram did? Paulu Laman Kiyumei Vahatzilase Shlam Yisrael. They did things. They risked their lives, in fact, not just things. They expended incredible energy. They made all kinds of risks. For what? To try to save the nation. They were totally committed to the nation. Miteches Nagdos L'Gzeres Pare. They were, in a sense, the ones who stood in the Pharaoh's way. Yocheved Bekach Sholemilo Acharei Gzeres Pare. She did not follow his instructions. What was his decree? Kill the babies, said the king. In Ben Huvahami Tenoso, it's a son, snuff him out. What did they do? The Torah says they didn't listen to the Pharaoh. Instead, what did they do? They made sure the babies were born. They provided sustenance for the babies. Adarabba, Hitzilu Asialdi Yisrael, Sialahem, they helped them. Obviously, Miriam was a small girl, helped her mother. Who set the tone? Yocheved did. And then what did Amram do? Well, this is actually a big deal. Amram, who did the natural thing, separating from his wife, said, I'm not going to be married, bringing babies into this world so the babies can be killed, so babies can be thrown in the river. I'm not doing that. But then, inspired by his precocious little daughter, what does Amram decide to do? Chazav alaka ches yecheved li'isha. He remarries. Mibli le'ischashav v'gzeres pari. And once he does what he does, everybody else follows. Incidentally, it's a very interesting Rambam in the end of Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam talks about mitzvahs of the Jewish people, how the mitzvahs were phased in, so to speak, and developed prior to Matan Torah. And the Rambam talks about Avraham Avinu and Bris Milah, he talks about Yitzchak, he talks about Tzedakah, he talks about Yaakov. Then he says, the other mitzvahs, then he says, Amram introduces marriage to the Jewish people. And everybody queries, where is the Rambam source for this? Where did the Rambam get that? It doesn't say it in the Gemara. There's no medrash we have that says that. So I think it's the Radvaz who says, the Rambam got this from the fact that the Torah introduces Amram to us by telling us that Amram went back, and he uses the word velokach, kicha, he took Yocheved, which this is the same term the Torah uses later to describe marriage. Amram introduced the concept of marriage to the Jewish people in a time when the Jewish people had no hope, in a time when the future was black, when babies born would all be killed. Aaron said, we're going to introduce marriage. We're going to build families. Now, incidentally, this could be understood for us in our time, where it was many famous Holocaust survivors who didn't want to get married, who didn't want to have children. Why? They said, I cannot bring myself to bring children into a world like this. One of those people was Elie Wiesel. And Elie Wiesel, by his own admission multiple times in public, decided to get married only because the Rebbe urged him to get married. And on the day he got married in Jerusalem, a dozen long-stem roses showed up from the Rebbe. The Rebbe sent a dozen long-stem roses to his wedding because the Rebbe convinced him to get married. So there were people who didn't want to get married. That was the time Amram was living in. They were watching babies being killed. So this is who Yocheved and Amram are. B'kach musberes. Now we can understand b'chirosam shal Moshe v'Aaron, the choosing by God of Moses and Aaron l'shlichas chashuv azu, for this incredibly important mission, this watershed mission. Mishtei sibes, for two reasons. Number one, Moshe v'Aaron zachu b'shlichas zu. Moses and Aaron merited this mission. Kischar ugmul al maaseim hagdolim shel horeim. This was God's reward to their parents. What's the greatest reward for parents? Nachas from the children. The children was the greatness. It's the greatest joy. For Rebbe Tzachana, her whole life was the Rebbe. To have a child like that. So what was Hashem's reward to Yocheved and Amram, who had risked their lives, who had dedicated themselves to the future of the Jewish people? That their progeny should be the ones to actualize this. It's the greatest reward. That is the greatest, so to speak, remuneration. And that's number one. Torah wants you to know that. Yocheved and Amram really had an instrumental and a key role because of their sacrifice, their dedication, and their love and loyalty to Am Yisrael and their willingness to do anything to guarantee the future, that's their reward. Number two, it's more than that. Moshe v'Aaron yarshu es tchunoseihem. That's who they were, but it's more than who they were. That's what they bequeathed. They bequeathed this as parents. And because they were those kind of people, that's why they produced those kind of children. That's why they had the ability to overcome the many, many difficulties that were strewn before them. That would get in the way. They would not have an easy time. This mission was not an easy one. Many, many difficulties, as we see. As we saw, the Pharaoh, the people of Israel, all kinds of difficulties. But kishem shahireim polu neged gzeiras parei, just as their parents dedicated themselves and put so much effort and work into to being able to overcome the gzeira, the decree of the Pharaoh, meblili is chashav bikshim, without taking into account the challenges, the difficulties, the rhyme and reason, the logic that would have indicated other behavior. Nonetheless, they stayed the course, did what they believed to be right. Despite the fact what was before them, ad kadei mesiras nefesh. So this is the same idea, hu Moshe v'Aaron. And here the Rebbe suggests, this now explains to us the message of these verses and the way Rashi sees them. Hu Aaron Moshe, this is Aaron Moshe, she'amar lahem, hitzi'u es bnei Yisrael, God said, take them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, Elu Shehuzkeru L'mayla, the first Rashi says, these are the ones who were mentioned earlier. What's Rashi's words? Sheyoldi Yecheved L'Amram. In other words, that Moshe v'Aaron are the children of Yecheved and Amram, and they merited this shlichut, this mission, to take the Jewish people out because of who their parents were. This was the reward to their parents. So the reward business, the first explanation, that's the first Rashi. Who Moshe v'Aaron? That's the one who Yocheved had born to Amram. Now, at the end of verse 27, the Rebbe suggests that Rashi is emphasizing the second. Heim ha-medabrim. They are the ones who are speaking. They are the ones who are going to make this happen. Heim shenitztavu. They are the ones who commanded. Heim shekimu. They are the ones who fulfilled. In other words, loyrak etzem ha-shlichas. Not the notion that they got a mission, that they got marching orders. Elagam kiyuma bepoil. The carrying out of those orders, the fulfillment of that mission, was all b'schus hareim, was all by virtue of their parents. It's because where did they get the strength to do this? Where did they get the inspiration to do this? Where did they get the wherewithal to carry it out from beginning to the end, to stay the course, not to falter or waver? The answer is because who their parents were. And that is why Actually explains to us, these verses come along. These verses explain to us, sets the case, it sets up the narrative for how Moshe v'Aaron end up in their position, Aaron and Moshe v'Aaron, of equal importance to carry out this incredibly important watershed mission, this historical moment of the development of Am Yisrael and the ushering in of the nation of Israel will be a light unto all the nations and transform the world landscape forever.